to look to the Lord in a way that constitutes intercessory prayer. And prayers that bring revival are intercessory prayers. And God is so willing to answer those kind of prayers tonight. Amen? God is willing. This is one of His favorite type of prayers to hear, is the prayers of intercession. Because when we pray those kind of selfless prayers, when we're praying for others to be blessed, others to be healed, others to be saved, to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, there's a decentralizing of self in that kind of praying. And the Bible said we have not because we ask not. That's a faith issue. We haven't made God our source in the book of James. But then it goes on to say we ask and receive not because we ask amiss. All of our prayers are to consume it upon ourselves. And that's where the problem with prayer comes in. A lot of people are really building their faith up to consume everything on themselves. And God wants us to build our faith up to help other people come to know Christ and to help people be delivered and set free. Can you say amen? That is the best possible, highest type of prayer that you can pray is when you pray like Jesus did from the cross when He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. God in the old covenant said, and I look for a man among them who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I didn't find any. I was looking, though. See, that's the kind of prayer He loves. I was looking. I was searching. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And many people would have you to think that He's looking for faith. I want you to know God's looking for way more than just faith. Amen. Amen. It would be so simple. Yeah, look at my faith. I'm believing You for this Mercedes, Lord. When you see my faith, I want Your holy radar to just stop and zone right in on me. No, your heart being perfect toward God involves more than just faith. It involves wanting His will, His eternal purpose, what concerns Him. That's why the Bible said when you pray, don't even pray for yourself and your nation alone. But we're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I remember remember David Ben Judah who used to come to our church? I think he got to really go home and be with the Lord. And he was, I guess what you would call a righteous Gentile. I don't know if he was a true Jew. I don't know how that worked. But at any rate, there's another man that's home that I thought was full-blooded Jew. And he was really just qualified by the Jewish people as a righteous Gentile. And it was, it's on the tip of my tongue. Get it out here where I can get it. Can you say amen? Yeah. Zola Levitt. Zola Levitt. Yeah. He was given the title Righteous Gentile because he was such a friend, a Christian friend to the Jewish people and the Jewish culture. But David Ben Huda, he came to our church, and one of the things that I repented of when he came and reminded us of God's command to pray for the nation of Israel and the peace of Jerusalem was that I never prayed. I would pray some prayer, some national prayer thing for nations or for some event taking place that God would protect them. But to pray and incorporate that into my prayer life when I had so many personal pressing needs and church needs and family needs just didn't seem to be appropriate to go all the way to Israel and bring that need in. But what's appropriate about praying like that? Intercession decentralizes self. Say that with me, intercession decentralizes self. It's just like true worship. True worship decentralizes self. Can you say amen? Worship, true worship is conspicuous, someone said, for the absence of self. And so the self life is what gets in the way of so many things that God ordains and God wants to accomplish. So that's why when we come to follow Jesus, the very first prerequisite that is absolutely essential is deny yourself. Give up that self life. And then our prayers become surrendered and submitted to the will of the Father. I've even been told by preachers, taught by preachers. Well, I didn't listen, but they tried to teach me this. Amen. Prominent ministers to, if you preface a prayer with, if it be thy will, it's a lack of faith. You mean asking for God's will is a lack of faith? I said, if you don't know His will and can't pray it, then listen, we don't always know how to pray as we ought. Can you say amen? And if we don't acknowledge that, then we're trying to get in the God seat and put him in our seat and to serve us. And that's not the way this thing works. God does have a will. God does have a purpose. And I understand what some of them were trying to say, but they took it to an extreme to where you couldn't intercede properly with that kind of attitude. But God is teaching us to intercede. So prayers for revival begin with intercession. It's got to be intercession. You got to begin to pray for lost people. Pray for people you know and pray for people you don't even know. Pray for your household and pray for your community and pray for the world that you live in. Because intercessory prayer has no limits. It can embrace the world. Praise God. There are people in other nations. We got a hit from, was it Indonesia? Somewhere where they were praying for us for revival. I thought that was pretty incredible that the gospel went to them, and now, and we found out that, and normally we're praying for the nations of the world to come to know Christ because we're supposed to be the Christian nation. But that's just a title now. It's not really descriptive of America as she stands today. One of the churchiest nations in the world. Maybe we could hold to the title the churchiest nation in the world. A churchy nation, can you say amen? But Christian is not about how many people attend church Sunday, but how many people follow Jesus the rest of the week. Can you say amen? When you walk out those doors, that's when our testimony begins. And it begins not with our words, but with our attitudes and our activities. But intercession is so important to me. We don't have a video tonight. I'm going to have to let you down just a little bit because my video equipment from making so many videos went kaput. And I've got to install a new burner because we've just burnt the burner up. Amen. But God is here tonight, and our emphasis is on intercession tonight. It's because that's where God wants to place it. They were interceding. This is exactly what Isaiah was calling for. And I won't turn to the scripture for time's sake, but there's two verses of scripture that we're claiming, just like we did for the radio ministry. God gave us a verse of scripture to claim and stand upon for the radio ministry. I thought I picked it. But I realized I didn't pick it. God gave it to us. Amen. You know, sometimes the Lord shows you something, and some people say God shows them everything. I had a lady used to call me, and yeah, you know, it's everything. You know, God told me to get that parking space. God told me to get that chicken right there. God spoke to me about that head of lettuce. Said, don't get that one, get this one. I mean, there are people that extreme, and I really don't believe God leads you in the head of lettuce. But I had a lady used to call me. Honestly, I had a lady used to call me. She called me up and she said, I want to be led of the Spirit. I want to be led of the Spirit. So I said, yeah, you pray and God will lead you. You just yield and surrender to him. I didn't know I was going to get a phone call at about supper time, 5:30 in the evening. Said, I'm torn between spaghetti and rigatoni. I've already got the meat sauce. I know God spoke to me concerning the meat sauce. I'm serious. This sounds like a tale, but you pastor long enough, you get these stories. These are called war stories. Can you say amen? Amen. And she said, I'm trying to pray between spaghetti and rigatoni. I think it was two cups of pasta. Which one to use to put the meat sauce over? And I thought, I was a loss for words, and you know, for me, that's yeah, that's pretty incredible. I didn't know what to tell the dear lady. I didn't want to hurt her faith, but I thought it was pretty crazy. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking, you know, I really don't thank God. I mean, I know he knows the number of a hair on her heads. He's very intimate and personal. He loves us deeply. But I really don't think he cares whether you cook rigatoni. What does your husband like? Can you say, man? I believe God would want you to bless your husband. That's what I told her. I said, what does your husband like best? Oh, he kind of leans towards spaghetti. I said, then I believe he'd be all right with God. Bless your husband with spaghetti tonight. Don't cook rigatoni and tell him God told you so. Can you say, man? I didn't tell her that. What did she say? Thank God for caller ID. I think God's got one up there and he says, oh, I'm not taking that one. There's no point in it. Praise God. I know who that is and I know what they want and it's crazy. Amen. I'm just going to give them my will and be done with it. Praise God. But at least she was wanting to be led of the Spirit and wanting to pray. Anyone who prays in the Holy Ghost has to pray in more than tongues. See, we thought it was just, as long as we pray in tongues, that's it. No, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, howbeit your understanding is unfruitful, but he makes intercession according to the will of God. Isn't that incredible? You can't just start off with come tie my bow tie while you're thinking about what you want. Can you say amen? You have to empty yourself of your will and acquiesce to him. And he knows the will of God. We think we got it all down to a plan, to an outline, to a formula. We don't. God won't stay in that little box we make for him. Amazing thing to me, the people that's got him in the box are always talking about getting God out of the box. And they're the one that put him in the box. The only way to get him out of the box is quit trying to tell him what to do and let him be the God that he is. Actually, we don't have to let him. He is what he is. He am what he am. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good tonight. But he maketh intercession according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Intercession is vital. So when Isaiah 64 was written, when Isaiah cried, he was interceding. He said, oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down. Amen. That you'd come down and make your name known. That you'd come down on the mountains. You'd cause those mountains to melt and flow into the sea like molten lava and cause the sea then to boil. Can you say amen? Every time you see the revival in the Hesperides, the revival off the coast of Scotland, the mighty revival, the Wales revival, the revival in Kentucky at a college that happened some years ago in the 70s, every time you hear of revival, a term keeps reoccurring. God came down. God came down. It's not the work of a program or a person or an evangelist with gifts. God came down. Amen. One of the great preachers in one of those moves, I think it was the Welsh revival, he said 75% of the people who were saved before they went to church to seek God. They didn't go to church to get saved. They got saved. They said, you drive down the road and people were praying and crying out and confessing their sins by the highway. People were down on their knees by the road. See, we think it takes a personality evangelist. That's why we don't know anything about true revival. We're still looking for a human personality to bring what only God can give. Amen? And yes, there were ministers God sent to help keep that thing rolling, to minister the gospel to people that had just got saved. But it wasn't those men or those women that brought the revival. It was praying people. It was intercessors, coal miners. Welsh coal miners were fasting while working daylight to dark in hard labor and fasting for revival. When Duncan Campbell came to preach in one of those moves of God, there were two elderly ladies that couldn't get out of their home. They were housebound. They began to pray and intercede. And they felt that God wanted that minister to come. And they said, go tell him we need him to come. They went and told Duncan Campbell, he said, I'm far too busy. I'm sorry, it just doesn't fit into my itinerary to come. And they went back and told the two ladies, they said, he said he's not coming. And they said, oh yeah, he's coming. He just don't know it yet, but he's coming. Amen. Isn't that incredible? And they continued to pray because they believed God was listening and God was going to not make him come, but speak to him. He was a man of God. If he could hear the voice of God, he'd obey the voice of God. But he only heard the voice of people telling him what to do. And you can get real messed up if you listen to too many voices. Can you say amen? But somebody praying like that in intercession. Duncan Campbell. Hallelujah. Duncan Campbell heard the voice of God and he came to minister because two ladies that couldn't get out to go to church said, we can't go to church and worship God. We can't go out in the harvest fields and work for God. What can we do? We can pray. Can you say amen? My dad said the other day, he said, well, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know why God's leaving me here. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't. I said, can you pray? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for other people that need Jesus? Will you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? He ties his check to the Jewish ministry that's helping Russian Jews that don't have enough to eat in Israel. And I said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to the Lord. Most Christians are giving to the rich. You're giving to those that Jesus said, when you've done it to one of these, you've done it directly unto me. God needs somebody that'll do the right thing down here instead of make the rich richer and forget about it. They say that's bad ground because they don't have God's favor. I read my Bible differently about the Jewish people. Can you say, man, we forgot where we come from and what God has called us to. But anyway, that's another. It's all about intercession. It's about intercession. And you know what? We're so good at preaching. The average minister, pastor, you know how much we pray a week? The average pastor. I'm not average, and I want to be more not average. But you know what it is? 15 minutes. 12 to 15 minutes. I'm not talking about our professional prayers, the one that we pray over the dinner before we eat, the one we pray at the funeral before we minister. We're good at it. We're good at it. We're so good at it now. We're trained. We're coached. We've read all the books. We know what to do and how to do it. So we really don't need the Spirit of God to do what only He can do. We got programs to get people in church. We need the Spirit of God to get them in the kingdom of God. Amen. It's an incredible day to be living when there's so little intercession, when it's the most powerful, prominent thing that we're called to do in the Bible is to intercede. I looked for a man. He said, I really would love to not send judgment. And I looked, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. What's he looking for? Oh, he's looking for faith. I'm going to show him my faith and get my 5-bedroom house with 4 bathrooms. No, you're not. That's not the kind of heart he's looking for. He's looking for somebody that shares his heart. Can you say, man, his vision? Praise God. And I guarantee you, he's not got a vision for just stone and mortar. Oh, he loves to bless you, and he's blessed many of us. But I didn't get this in this for the temporal. I got in it for something far greater than that. Amen. I look for a man among them, among men, that would do what? Stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And I didn't find any. Therefore, I brought judgment. Isn't that incredible? But he said, before I sent judgment, I looked for somebody that would stand up. Because listen, God says, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Why will you die, O house of Israel? He was looking for an intercessor. And that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. It was an act, not just a prayer of intercession, but the laying down of his life was an intercessory act. He interceded in our behalf on the cross. Can you say amen? And today the emphasis on intercession is so small. We're self-indulgent people looking to God with faith formulas to indulge ourselves in the things that we want. And very few Christians that I meet, including in ministry, sad to say, bow their heart and their life and say, Lord, I want your will above everything else. And I want to see people saved. I've got to. Oh, that's why Whitfield had such a ministry. He's standing looking out at a city in Scotland, and he's looking out over that city, and the cold draft from that winter air is coming. And his wife says, or someone says to him, come in, come out of that draft. You're going to catch the flu or cold or pneumonia. And he said, how can I think of myself when so many souls do not know Christ tonight? The day of the weeping preacher is almost over. No one is weeping or broken for the lost, the damned, and the dying. But I'm going to tell you, I just heard a testimony. I was going to bring it to you, but we'll do that another night, of a man who was in a plane crash. And he was burning, like you see these people on the fire in the movies. He was trapped and burning. He was a skydiver, and he was used to jumping out of planes, and he was on fire, literally on fire. And a friend of his braved the flames, got burned himself pretty badly, but he was caught up because the parachute was ready. It was tangled in it in his frantic effort to get out of the plane. And this friend of his came through all of that and jerked both of his thumbs out of joint, yanking the line to the parachute, which is enough to hold a man coming, 2,000-pound tensile strength. And this guy just ripped that to get him loose. incredible what just to get him out of there. But this very handsome, rugged, handsome man who loved to jump out of airplanes as his passion, a young, handsome, but one side of his face was completely disfigured by the fire that he was in. Burned so badly that he actually died on the table when they got him to the hospital from shock of the burns. But he said, I felt myself go right through the sheet. I felt the real me. He said, the man inside me, the real person, left that body for a little while. And I saw myself laying there, and I felt myself being pulled toward a light. But he said, a darkness came, sweeping, and I realized that I wasn't authorized to go. See, everybody heads for the light, but not everybody gets to the light. He said, while I was headed, might explain why so many people see light like that. Could be the devil just deceiving them. But he said, but a darkness came. And he says, a darkness I can't explain, but I knew this darkness had a finality to it. I knew this darkness had an eternity to it. I knew this darkness would sweep me away forever from the light and take me where I did not want to go. Amen. And someone was praying in intercession. Everybody say intercession. Praise God. And he began to cry out. Now, I'm not saying you can get saved after you're dead. He wasn't dead yet, because you got to go somewhere to be dead. Amen. And he cried out for mercy. And he said, let me tell you something about that darkness. He said, you can think of the worst murderer, the worst child killer, the worst person in human history, whether it be Adolf Hitler, whoever it is. And he said, as much as they deserve to be punished, he said, for years, when someone would use the slang, go to hell, he said, I couldn't stand to hear it. He said, because they didn't know what they were saying, because they didn't comprehend. And I'm convinced it's not just people that use that kind of language. I'm convinced there's ministers in pulpits, amen, that don't understand, cannot appreciate, and do not comprehend what it means. He said the horrors of that darkness. He said, I didn't see the flames. I didn't see the lake of fire. But the darkness that came for me, he said, was so horrific. He said, I couldn't stand to hear anybody say that or even the mention for several years. And he said, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy or the worst person in human history. Paul had a glimpse of that. That's why he was such a great intercessor. Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. When Paul preached, there was something in it called compassion. There was something in it, amen, called conviction. He was convinced that the plight of the lost was worth pledging his whole life, even to the death, to reach people for Jesus. He said, I'm not. The prophet came to Paul and said, listen, Paul, he said, bonds and afflictions await you in Jerusalem. See, the prophet wasn't telling him not to go. You got to know how to interpret prophecy. That wasn't a warning not to go. It was a confirmation of what was going to happen when he got there. But the prophet didn't know that. And you can tell that the prophet didn't know it by the way Paul answered him. Paul looked at him because the prophet expected, and the prophet was dead on. He was going to get in big trouble in Jerusalem. But you know what he told him? The prophet thought, I've given him a warning. He looked back at him and said, I'm not only ready to be put into prison, I'm ready to lay down my life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because he knew the terror of the Lord. Amen. And he said, if God wants me to die for his glory, so be it. Praise God. If he wants me to be put in prison or beat up again, that's okay. Because the souls of men, hallelujah, is worth the persecution. No wonder he had such a powerful ministry. And no wonder God used him to write all of these books in the New Testament. Isaiah 64 is a cry for God to rend the heavens. I sat with three pastors last Tuesday. Tuesday before last, I had to zip it up this Tuesday. And people were discussing these books on how to grow a church and evangelism, and everybody, we all have about the same small, we all got small churches, small ministries, in terms of the attendance and size, scope. Everybody's interested in their churches growing, and I won't lie to you, I would love to be in that building with 1,000 people tonight, because if I could get, here's the deal. It makes no difference to God. It only matters to us. And it keeps mattering to me, and I keep repeating this thing over and over. It makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. That's why when we pray tonight, God said it don't take a, if 1,000 pray, I'll respond. If 50 pray, I'll respond. If 5 pray, I'll respond. In fact, if 2 or more come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if any 2 of you shall ask anything in my name, ask the Father in my name, it'll be granted unto you. Amen. He's ready to move tonight. And prayer is what moves the hand of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We already have the heart of God. And we discovered that this morning. Praise the Lord. This man was able to come back. And now he has a compassion for souls, because he understands the horrific, terrible plight of the lost. Can you say, man? Because he got a glimpse of the darkness that was about to encompass him. And he's encouraging people to witness and to share Jesus and to win others to Jesus. And I thought, pastors need to hear it first and foremost. We need to intercede tonight. So Isaiah said, we got all our worship. Lord, rend the heavens. Rend the heavens and come down. What would happen if God came down on this community? Can you say, man, if God came down on this community? Everybody's got a program. Spirit of the Lord just rose up in me. I told those ministers, I said, I'm going to tell you something. We're always trying to figure out how we can do it. Amen. We can't do it. Amen. You can beat your head against the wall and ask questions. And we can't do it. Only if it's really God. If God, I said, what happened to the Lord added to the church daily? Whatever happened to not by might nor power, but by my spirit? Whatever happened to a dependence on the Spirit of God for this gospel? Oh, we're in Bob Evans, and God is inside that place. Hallelujah. Whatever happened to this gospel didn't come in word only, but in power. Everybody say power. Power. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, can you say, man? When did we get so good at preaching that we didn't need God to confirm his word? So good at it now. We don't need God. We needed it then to give us the book, but now we're so good at declaring the book, we don't need the Spirit of God. I believe we're in desperate need of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Not in the enticing words of man's wisdom at our best effort. Paul said, but my preaching was not that way. It was in a demonstration of spirit and power. And I don't believe anybody was falling out. And I don't believe anybody was getting holy laughter. Listen, I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying that's not what Paul was talking about. It was something far deeper than just a touch or a blessing. Can you say, man? When it came in power, it came like it did on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached and the heart was pricked. When the heart is truly convicted, amen, the gospel has come in power. Can you say, man? It's not when Sister Hoopendigger does 2 black flips and a handspring. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? That's not what God is talking about. It's debatable whether that's the power of God or over-emotionalism, and only God knows. We'll let God figure that out. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. When somebody's heart is convicted, it's the end of the debate. When the Holy Spirit pricks the heart, when he shows a sinner their lostness, at the same time shows that Jesus is the Messiah, and they come to know Jesus in a true born-again experience, that's what we need. But we won't get it for one reason. We're so good at it. We get our financial needs met. We get enough people coming to give us our church becomes our success symbol. Why didn't God rend the heavens and come down? They're going through all the motions. They're going through all the worship service. Verse 7 of Isaiah 64 explains it directly and distinctly, forthrightly, concisely. and no man stirs himself up to lay hold on thee. Amen. Why should we? We're good at it. Why should we? They're buying my tapes. Why should I? They're giving in the offering. Who cares if God rends the heavens or not? We got a good thing going here. Honey, if God don't rend the heavens, there are going to be people go to hell that were sitting in one of those fine churches on Sunday morning. Amen? There'll be children lost that got to go to the night of joy with their Sunday school class. Can you say amen? But they'll be lost. If they get a car wreck on the way home and they don't know Christ, they're going to hell. And there are preachers that won't tell them that and are proud of the fact that they never preach on it. Because as one preacher put it, God is doing a new thing. I heard him in Kentucky. God is doing a new thing. We don't teach like that anymore. We don't preach like that anymore because God is doing a new thing. That, you know, for God to do a new thing in that sense of changing, amen, the word and everything, God would have to change. And he's the Lord God of Israel. He changes not. And I'm glad he didn't, because he could change his mind about a whole lot of other things he said. Can you say amen? But thank God he doesn't change. And thank God he's not doing something new. Praise God. He's doing something old that we haven't seen in so long. We just think it's new. Amen. Revival, it won't be because of something new. It's something God has been wanting to do all along. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So no man stirs himself up to lay hold on them. We jump over to the New Testament. And when we get into the New Testament, the New Covenant, we find the first miracle. A lame man is healed in the book of Acts. He's healed and he leaps and walks and runs in the temple praising God. And what does it do? It gets them into deep trouble. So they would have killed him on the spot. But they couldn't deny that a notable miracle. How many were here for the Delia Knox testimony? Raise your hand if you were here for the Delia Knox. Wow. I'm holding it, keeping it, because some Sunday morning, I want everybody to see that when we teach in that area. Because it's so powerful. A notable miracle. When it makes the 6 o'clock news in the town that the lady went back through from Mobile, Alabama, when they're there from the 6 o'clock news with cameras, that's a notable miracle. Amen. And it's a notable miracle when the mayor's office sends out a representative. Amen. Because they acknowledge that God has done something so powerful and so wonderful. Amen. And it's going to continue to reverberate. Those kind of miracles are going to continue. That's happening in the now. That's happening not across the water, but in America. Praise God. That's happening to someone, listen to this, that didn't have to sow a seed. Isn't that incredible? They didn't have to buy it. You know what impressed me about that? She didn't have to write a check to get the God of glory to do what he sent Jesus to accomplish on the cross for nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Amen. I don't want to preach much longer because I'm trying to stay within the time frame of the videos, and boy, it's tough. Listen to me. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what I love about it that Delia said? She said, every time I went to a meeting, they tried to yank me out of the wheelchair. Somebody with good intentions came and grabbed me and yanked me up. But guess what? She had to sit right back down in it because she wasn't healed. Can you say amen? But she got in a meeting where God was just moving by his spirit. She said, I was hesitant to even go because what did she say? I've been pulled, pushed out, jerked on, and dropped. And so I wasn't looking forward to that happening again. So she wasn't there saying, it's my seed that I've sown, or it's my great faith. She'd been in a wheelchair for 22, going on 23 years, crippled by a drunk driver. She said, but I love the Lord. She was just there to worship God. Actually, she wasn't seeking healing. She was just seeking him. You didn't hear me. She wasn't just seeking healing. She didn't go to seek to be healed. She went to seek him. She'd actually given up on healing, but God is still Jehovah Rapha.
That's right.
He's still the great physician. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the wonderful thing about God moving by His Spirit when people pray, things begin to happen. Not because we're making it happen with our faith, but we're just putting our trust in the sovereign God. And God is doing things by His Spirit according to His eternal will and in His timing. Praise God. I like to get in a service where it's electrical, where you feel the hair stand. They tell me if you're on a golf course, I don't play golf. They're trying to get me to play these preachers. They don't get enough laughs. They want to laugh some more, I guess. Amen on the golf course. But amen. But they tell you if you feel the hair stand up on your arms, you know, static electricity. You're out there in the thunderstorm in the middle of a golf course. The hair stands up on your arms. It's static electricity. Just lay flat. Just flat. Amen. That might be good advice if you're on a golf course and you feel that. But if you're in church and you feel that, get ready to shout. Can you say amen? Because God is going to do something mighty. Whether you feel it or not, God will do something mighty where He is honored, His name is exalted, His word is declared, and people pray for God to rend the heavens and come down. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And He does these mighty things. They said, if you preach or teach in that name anymore, don't do it. It'll kill you. They went back and said, Lord, behold their threatenings, and talked about God's sovereignty. Amen. Not them manipulating God with their faith, but God in His eternal will and purpose. Said Herod thought he was doing something on his own, but all this stuff that happened, even what happened to Jesus on the cross, is because you're God. Hallelujah. They thought they were winning. They thought they were doing, exerting their authority, but they were all under your supervision, and it all worked out according to your will. They're not held unresponsible for what they did, but they ended. Those that put Him on the cross, amen, will have to answer for that. But God had ordained that He be on that cross, or they couldn't have touched Him with a 10-foot, 20-foot, or 100-foot pole. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, now behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we might speak thy word. Hallelujah. By stretching forth thine hand, rend the heavens. Can you see it again? You do something that only you can do. Amen. We'll preach it with boldness, but we can't do what only you can do. And we're not going to try to do it without you. Can you say amen? Stretch forth your hand. To do what? The primary sign that confirms the word, other than the salvation that occurs. But so salvation can occur in many occasions. He stretches forth His hand to heal. Go and preach the gospel. What's the first thing? Go and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel and heal the sick. Can you say amen? Oh yeah. It did not come in word only. We still need God to show up. And the world needs to see. Listen, what distinguishes our God from Allah? What distinguishes our God, amen, from Buddha? What distinguishes? Oh, yes, I understand the resurrection. They didn't believe it then, and they don't believe it now. But what confirms the resurrection? Oh, you're getting rid of God. What confirms the? Oh, an empty tomb in Jerusalem. Honey, they didn't even believe it 2,000 years ago. You can't even prove that's the tomb. Probably is, but it's probably. Our God is risen. How do you know? There's a hole in the ground over in Israel. There are tombs all over the place in Israel. That's not what God used in that day to confirm the resurrection. You know what happened? They told them to lie. And say they came and stole His body. And it was a believable lie because even Thomas couldn't believe He was raised when he was looking dead at Him. Amen? Amen? Even the believers had a problem with it. You know the unbelievers are not going to believe it because the tomb is empty. Can you say amen? So how did they convince them? It started when that first miracle happened in the book of Acts. Because they called them before the council. And they said, oh, it was a loaded question. God had already moved. A man had already, through the name of Jesus, he had already leapt and walked. and ran in the temple praising God. God had healed him. Praise God. Because in the name of who? In the name of what church? Did he have to give them a check? No, no, because this was bought on the cross. In the name of such as I have, give I thee. Freely we receive, freely give. Praise God. You couldn't buy a sermon off of our website for $1 million. However, I would sell you one. If you were, but you couldn't buy it. They're not for sale. I'll give you one if you want to donate $1 million. That's fine. Amen. I mean, if you really wanted to give to the ministry, I would not. If somebody said that sermon was so good, I want to write a $1 million check. I said, it's free, but if you want to write the check, write it. Hallelujah. Here's the pen. Amen. If that one don't work, I'll go to Circle K. I'll be right back. Don't you go nowhere. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But it's not for sale. What I'm telling you is it's not for sale. There's nothing for sale. Amen. People come to the website, they're waiting for the hook. There's no hook. There is a hook. It's the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Pray. We ought to put a disclaimer. You know, if you come here, God's liable to catch you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But listen to me. He leapt and praised God. And they brought them before the council how all this started. They said, by what authority? The religious leaders, by what authority did you heal this man? They said, you remember the man that you hung on the tree? The man you wanted crucified, the man you wanted to kill. Listen, whom God hath raised from the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Through faith in his name, this man has his perfect soundness before you all. God did it then. He's doing it now. He wants to do it more and more and more because, amen, Oh, Shalababi, let the God that answers by fire. That's it, what Elijah prayed. Distinguish yourself. They got a God they worship. We got a God that we worship. How can we tell who's the true God? Let the God that shows up. Let the God that comes down. Let the God that rends the heavens. Hallelujah. Let him be declared the true and the living God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is not an intellectual competition to see who's more convincing when they declare their God. This is about fire. This is about manifest presence. This is about God showing up, God saving, God delivering, and God setting free. Hallelujah. Glory. So they said, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place wherein they prayed was shaken. In that prayer meeting, the Hesperides, where they gathered in that house to pray and intercede for revival, the tea set, you can just picture that English tea set with the spoon for the sugar and the sugar bowl and the creamer and the saucers begin to shake and rattle. Said the presence of God filled that house. Praise God. And then the presence of God began to come upon people in the highways and in the byways. And 75% of the people came to Jesus before they even got to church. But they came on to church to worship him and to bow before him. But they got saved by the road in the dark. Amen. Convinced of their lostness and convinced that Jesus was their only answer. God came down. Now if we don't have a human personality, we think we can't have a revival. Amen. Amen. And if you're not a person, I remember I was invited to India to preach and God didn't open the door. I didn't go. I was willing, but it wasn't time. And so anyway, I was invited to India to preach by a missionary that came to our church. He said, you must come and preach in India. We will have a great meeting. Come to India. We will have a great meeting. We will announce it and people will come from everywhere. There's hunger in my village in India. There's hunger there. You come and we will have a great outdoor meeting. And I could just see one of these name evangelists having this grand meeting. And I thought, I'm not a name evangelist. And so I began to, you know, I was willing to go, but I told him, I said, well, you know, nobody knows me outside this little area right here. I'm not a national evangelist. I'm not even I'm not an international evangelist. I'm not a national evangelist. I didn't go on, but I could have told him I'm not known. I'm not much known in this city, let alone national or international. I'm not a name evangelist. And he said, oh, my brother, it does not matter. It is not your name that they come to hear about. Made me want to go to India, praise God. It is not your name they want to hear. It is the mighty name of Jesus. He said, you come to India and preach Jesus and they'll come to hear about Jesus. And I thought, yeah, that must be real revival. Because the Holy Spirit testifies of him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Made me want to go to India. Stretch forth your hand to heal. Now here's what I'm convinced of tonight. I'm convinced God wants to restore that healing among his covenant people. I mean, he wants to heal beyond us, but he wants to begin it in his church again. I believe God wants to heal the sick again. James 5:14 says, if there be any sick among you, let them call the elders. This is something that you don't have to have a healing anointing for or a healing service to achieve. This is something a name evangelist isn't brought in with gifts. This has nothing to do with the gift of healing. This has to do with the intercession of elders and the name of Jesus. Oh, you didn't hear me. There's a gift of healing to actually boost evangelism. Amen. And if you read the book of Acts, you can see how many people came to the Lord as a result of a healing that distinguished the name of Jesus above the generic worship of God. Amen. But in the church, every Christian, any sick among the believers, let them call the elder. James 5:14. Any afflicted, let him pray. Is any sick? Let them call the elders of the church. Let them do what? Intercede in their behalf in the name of Jesus. Let them anoint them with oil, a type of the Holy Spirit. Let them lay hands upon them. Can you say, man, you shall lay hands on the sick? Praise God. Thou shalt lay hands. Why? Oh, number one, point of contact. I can agree with that. That's not the primary reason, though. Number two, mighty anointings are transferred. I can understand anointings being transferred. But did you know the significance of laying hands on the sick? David said of his shepherd king, thou anointest my head with oil. And Pentecostals hear oil. I said, when Pentecostals hear oil, they just see a run and a jump and a holler. Now, I'll run and jump and holler with the best of you. But I understand David was a shepherd, and it did not represent the anointing in power. It represented God loving enough, having enough compassion to minister healing to people that were hurting. When a sheep... And they did it all the time. They're pretty dumb animals. We need a lot of help and a lot of healing from God. Amen. Amen. He'd go to get a drink and near a stream where there was a rock and bang his head on the rock. He'd bang his head on the rails of the place they put him in at night. He'd bang his head and open a wound. And the flies would come and infections would set up. And you know what they would do? They would take herbs for healing into a powder. They would mix it with something that would hold it on the wound and repel the pest while healing the wound. Everybody say, repel the pest while healing the wound. And you know what the oil was? All the oil was is a conveyor for the healing balm. Hallelujah. And the shepherd would come and he'd take his hands and he'd start rubbing that in the wound. Hallelujah. And that's why God said, when you pray for people that are hurting, lay hands on them in my behalf. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you, it's not the hand of that man. It's not the hand of that woman. It's the hand of God. Because the Bible said when you're through praying, amen, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And who raises them up? Who Oh, Bahashada, the Lord raises them up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, church. Amen. Listen, when God ministers, he doesn't do it by just sending his power. He does it by touching you personally. Can you say amen? I said touching you personally. Praise God. No one would touch that leper that said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. No one could touch him. He had to warn them if they didn't see he was a leper and cry unclean so they would go the other way. And something he missed was the human touch that we all take for granted. Someone shaking your hand, touching your shoulder, giving you a hug. It was all over for him until Jesus came along. The Bible said, and Jesus touched him. Jesus touched him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a wonderful God. Amen. I want us to come right now and let's pray that God will stretch forth his hand to heal. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus Christ. That people be convicted of their sin. That hearts be pricked when the gospel is preached. When the greatest healing of all takes place, when a soul is transformed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The eyes of the Lord right now, Brother Taylor, Sister Taylor, you know what they're doing? They're running to and fro around this entire globe. Amen. To show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. I've never felt closer to God than when I ministered with compassion to other people. I've never felt closer to God. I've felt the power of God in extraordinary ways down through my life and ministry, but I've never felt the intimacy or the closeness than when I was praying for someone and the Spirit of God through me was beginning to pour that love into them. Can you say, man, never felt closer to God in my life than when I was praying for others. Praise God. Amen. We need prophets like Jeremiah, don't we? With hearts of intercession. Listen, he was known as the weeping prophet. He said, I cried so much over Israel that my tears caused my bed to float. If you bottled all my tears up, poured them out at one time, my bed would literally float off the floor. I've wept for my people. I've wept in intercession. Paul said to his own brethren that were rejecting the gospel, sealing their fate, a terrible fate. He said, if it would help, if I could be cursed, if I could receive the curse so you could go free, I'd give myself up for you. That's intercession. That's the decentralizing of self. That's why missionaries took the gospel to the nations of the world. No one just walked in and was applauded. The first ones in usually were martyred. But when they saw them die and they saw their love and they saw their commitment to their Christ, they began to say there's something to what they had to say. And the next wave came in, and maybe the second wave or the third wave, amen, they would be received and a whole culture is transformed. Oh, we need ministers that are concerned about your soul, not about you joining their club, building their success symbol to their ministry, but concerned about your undying soul. Can you say amen? Oh, we need weeping preachers again that are not looking for families to help them with their building fund, but souls, hallelujah, to present before the Lord. Lord, the gospel, I believe, is threatened, not because someone is threatening to kill me, although I've had death threats down through the years. But Lord, it's not because my life, as I know at this moment, is in some kind of jeopardy from someone killing me like they are missionaries in other parts of the world. That is not the threat, that they're going to kill me. The threat is that the gospel here in America is going to be so perverted, so polluted, so void of your power that it is you can't tell it from any other of the worship gods that are worshiped, that our God will become one of many. Oh Lord, rend the heavens. Come down. Distinguish yourself. Shalaboko. It never came in word only. 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 But it came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. And it came in much assurance. Can you say amen? Peter preached and hearts were pricked. Power was manifest. Ola bakasanda. Nikolasa. Nindarabasata. Ikolasa. Halababahasataya. Hallelujah. Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal. You said preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. And raise the dead. Father, in the name of Jesus, stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy child Jesus, your son and our savior. Lord, it's not a name evangelist. It's not 10,000 shouting people. Hallelujah. It's intercession. It's intercession. It's intercession. It's intercession. It's intercession that you are. Honor. We've come here on Sunday night to intercede, to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, to cry unto you, to rend the heavens and come down. We're stirring ourselves up to lay hold on you. We want to lay hold on you. Like Jacob laid hold on you. I will not turn you loose. I will not turn you loose. I will not turn you loose. And oh God, I will not turn you loose. I will not become a satisfied preacher, though I had 1,000 people. Oh God, I won't turn you loose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At some point in intercession, and God will determine the point. God will determine when he responds. But at some point, when we show him, amen, that we are committed and that we want more. Hallelujah. And not for our sake, but for the sake of the lost, the damned, and the dying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we want more. We want more. We want our kids saved. We want them saved. We want them saved. We want them delivered. We want them set free. Hallelujah. 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 You say, well, preacher, they're going to church. They're in a youth group. So what? So what? If they don't follow Christ, it don't matter what youth group they're a part of, what church they attend, what music they listen to. They're as lost as anybody else till they make Jesus the Lord of their life and repent of their sins. Can you say amen? Oh, how we need God to move. 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 Hallelujah. One church in the basement has so many video games that the young people flock to it. They get a head count and call it success. Look at the young people. Amen. They gear the music to them. They give them something fun to do, and they show up. But that is not salvation. That is not discipleship. That is not keeping them safe from the enemy. Can you say amen? Father, stretch forth your hand to heal. Stretch forth your hand again that signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Olabas, distinguish your name. Hallelujah. Verify and vindicate the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Verify that he's raised from the dead in the way you did it in the early church. Hallelujah. You healed, you delivered, you saved, and you set free through his mighty name with great power. with great power, 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 gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need that great power today. We need the power of Holy Ghost conviction. We need the power of deliverance. We need the power of healing. Hallelujah. Return to God's people and through God's people. Hallelujah. We need the power of answered prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we praise you. Just thank him right now and praise him. We need men and women seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that he can make intercession. So that he can make intercession. So that he, not so we can become part of the spiritually elite at church, but so that he can intercede according to the will of God in perfect faith, in the perfect will of God, so things can happen. Hallelujah. In his eternal purpose. Through his power and his might. Shalabakisata. Nendadabaroshalaba. Hallelujah. Moshala. We don't always know how to pray it in English. Hallelujah. We don't have to. When we set ourselves to intercede, the Holy Ghost becomes highly activated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salababia. Nandadabasata. Keshalabata. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shela baboro, yeshala bavinde, mashala baka, sila bavote, salabariti tiyanda de bobo babahasata. Hallelujah, we're not seeking a sign, we're believers. Hallelujah, mekalaba. Anyone out in the world that demands a sign, no sign will be given. But those that just don't know any better, those that can't tell one God from the next, God said, I'll give them a sign. Can you say, man, those seekers who don't even know what to believe because there's so many voices, so many gods being declared, so many variations within Christianity of the true God. Shelaba, there's not even a consensus about Jesus anymore. Within Protestantism. Satan has a double-pronged strategy. You know what it is? Discourage the leadership and divide the flock. Can you say, man, discourage the leadership, divide the flock. You've conquered God's great army. I believe it's time leadership come together, amen, around a central cause, and that is to hear from heaven and to see God move, to see souls saved and the name of the Lord exalted. Hallelujah. And I believe Christians begin to come together for the same purpose, that the place where we gather is going to be shaken once again. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you tonight. I feel that lifting of this intense intercession, but it's not because it's done. It's just because it's sparked within us. And throughout this week, we're going to carve out prayer time. We're going to find it somehow. We're going to make it happen. Oh, shalabasiti, so that he that seeth in secret can reward us openly. Halabahosanda. Lord, let these services be charged with your spirit. Hallelujah. Yet you let young people that come in that don't even know or care what's going to happen next inside these walls, let them begin to feel the presence of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let adults that have been so detached from your true presence that we've become complacent, let us have an encounter with you again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With your person first and then your power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come down and cause these mountain hearts of granite to melt and to flow down. Praise God, and cause the waters to become activated and boil. Praise the Lord. Make your name known In Jesus' name. 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 I'd rather be known for my passion than my preaching. Oh, koshanda namasitia. Leshala, preaching without passion is dead letter. Moshala, though it be theologically correct and accurate. Oshalababa. I believe when Paul preached, it was with passion. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And let's sing a psalm like they did and go home tonight with a song. Amen. I believe it's appropriate because we've asked God to heal. There's two kinds of healing. Number one is the healing of the sin-sick, sin-poisoned soul. And that's the healing spoke of in Isaiah 53:5. With his stripes you were healed is in the context of salvation, not in the context of the physical or the temporal, but the eternal. You can use that scripture because that healing positions us for physical healing. Amen. Brings us into the covenant, but there's a healing greater. And Isaiah 53:5 is not about your body. Make no mistake about it. He was wounded for our transgression, spiritual. Bruised for our iniquity, spiritual. Chastisement of our peace on him, spiritual. He's not going to change that. There's only a comma, and it says, with his stripes, you were healed. Said summer has come and has passed. The time of harvest is over and Israel is not healed. He wasn't talking about the physical. He was talking about the spiritual. Can you say amen? But there is healing in Isaiah 53. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah 53:3. Amen. Oh, Baba Hosanda Baba. And St. Matthew saw them bringing to Jesus the sick out of every quarter. And he said, and when Jesus saw them, he was moved with compassion. And he was moved with compassion. And he healed their sick that it might be fulfilled, spoken by the prophet Isaiah 53:5. No, 53:3. Can you say, man, surely he's borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Not only was he a Hebrew and a Jew and understood what those words meant in his own native tongue, but he was also an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He interpreted it accurately. Can you say, man, thank God we have a healer for soul and body tonight. Everybody say, for soul and body tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's give him praise before we leave here. Hallelujah. Amen.